right, let's get ready to rock. Darrell Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Edition this hour. Wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus, we're glad you're aboard. And when you can't catch us live, just download us wherever you get your pods. And text us at 590-590. If you got any complaints, send them over to Sammy McKee, Justin Bourne, Derek Brandeo, or Jen Rolnick. Do not let me know about it. I only want positive. And that's what we're getting.
Scram, beat it.
All hour, nothing but positive vibes for the Toronto Maple Leafs. If we went back 24 hours ago, somebody on this desk said it's a scheduled loss.
Hold on.
It's a scheduled
everybody
loss.
On this desk.
No. You. And I
listen,
agreed because I was spent by then and I just wanted to leave and get into my car and go home for dinner.
Such an accurate assessment by the end of the show. You could say something absurd and I'm like, yeah, all right.
Not timing. Even close.
No.
To a scheduled loss.
No.
And we had ample reasons to believe that would be the case.
Yeah. You know, I'll say, when you are a team with elite talent, and the Toronto Maple Leafs are undeniably that, if you ask anyone in the league, they call them top-heavy or whatever people use to say about the Leafs, this sort of thing can happen where they make a couple of plays and shoot it in the net. Like, Willie Nylander making that play with the goalie pulled is like, you know, pretty unlikely it's going to happen, but if he pulls it off, it's a great chance. Pulls it off, great chance they score, and all of a sudden they're off and running. Leafs get their goals. 7-3 win in Madison Square Garden on a back-to-back, 3 points out of the state of New York on a Monday, Tuesday.
Sammy, you did your post-game show with J.D. again?
Yes, I did.
Did you forget the second letter?
He said you thought
J.B., yeah, J.D., yeah. I'm like,
it's one of those
I'm
guys.
All Jade confused.
Yeah, I did. I did. I do it every day. Actually, every night after after the game, you can catch me.
And how are those vibes?
It was good. It was good. I think I just a lot of surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the emotion that the number one sort of overarching feeling I had out of that game was, you know, stealing money. Like, it's just like it's money that you didn't expect to have. And there you go. Like, it was a surprising result, but a good one nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely. The, you know, like overwhelmed by their play. What were your thoughts on the night?
Just in terms of like feeling like you weren't fighting it. And I know we're still looking at a second period that probably had a lot of people thinking, oh, here we go again. Right.
Yeah.
Like this thing's going to be destined for an overtime loss. Comfortable at 4-1. They get a couple of late ones. You go into the intermission going, third period's up for grabs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it didn't work out that way.
No, and, you know, Sheldon had said some stuff, and I'm not sure if this is the clip we have or not, but he did say some stuff where it's like when you go into that second period, it's important to sort of have a reminder for the team. You're up one in a tough environment. You're in a good spot to get points, you know, and to not get caught up in the direction of the game.
Okay, let's go to Sheldon Keefe for our first Kippers Clipper on the overview of the win.
I thought for a lot of the game we looked like a tired team, quite honestly, but we did what we needed to do in terms of building a lead. You know, often when you play in these back-to-backs, you know, it's tougher as the game goes on, but I think there's somewhat of an advantage early in the game because you just played the night before. We had a hard-fought game last night, so you want to kind of ride that while the other team is sort of feeling their way through the game. That's what you hope happens. So we built a nice lead in the first period, which, you know, our guys did a great job in executing, taking advantage of their chances. And then the same thing in the third period there, just allowing us to pull away, you know, starting with a huge power play goal.
Yeah, why would anybody think that they weren't going to show up and play well against the Rangers? They had their third string goalie who has all but a handful of games in the American Hockey League and a save percentage of what, 870?
In the A.
In the A.
Yeah.
So.
Is that true?
Back to back.
I don't really pay close attention.
Back to back games. Apparently the flu. Shortened blue line.
Yeah.
Like this had all the makings into a a 7 or 8-3 win for the New York Rangers. That just did not happen.
No, and you know, credit to the Leafs. Yeah, like I said, they came out and they scored those goals, but then they
started
were able
good
to,
tonight.
You know, lock it down, get some saves. I thought Jones played really well for them. You know, he didn't maybe didn't love every goal that went in, but
the first one,
yeah, a little weird.
Didn't really know how that one ended up in the back of the net, and he was kind of sliding into the net. But just if you zoom out on where the Leafs are and some of the conversations we were having, I don't know, was it a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know, 3 weeks ago? I don't really know how long
ago. Is
this
a playoff team? Are they good?
Yes. And, like, for legitimate reasons, and for them to have put together this stretch of hockey, like you said, missing three of their top six D-men that started on opening night, you know, with their third-string goaltender, you know, having issues in the bottom six, you know, talking about what's wrong with Matthews. He's leading the league in goals. Marner, it's like, gets 2 goals last night. It's like, we've had all these conversations, and then they're right there in the thick of it again.
Well, did you, like, I never thought that.
Oh, I did.
That there'd be a scenario where they're fighting for their lives to get in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I did.
No.
I think
they were always going to, they get their points.
They're doing okay.
They get their points. That's all I can say. I've said it for all season long. This team will find a way to get their points. That's not the issue.
Which is the most dismissive thing to me of it's very tough to get points, you know, on a nightly basis. And this
they find a way.
This is Sheldon Keefe's time, is it not? Like last year they were without Morgan Riley at this time of year. And then they just went on an absolute tear. Like they seem to find their way through. If you do zoom out to your point, Sammy, you know, where they're at right now, they're 4 points behind the Boston Bruins for the division lead.
Yeah, their record the last 10, 11 games is as good as anybody's in the league.
Yeah, in the last 15, it's the best in the league. They're 1 point behind the Florida Panthers with 2 games in hand. You know, they're creating some separation from the Lightning, who have 4 more games played and 4 less points or fewer points.
It hasn't been as pretty as probably you'd like to think, but this is just a team that finds a way during the regular season.
Yeah. So what is the statement?
No, there's nothing. It's just, it's the process, right? It's the process. And
but
there's not
can
much
they
you can
do differently then. Like you're saying they get their points in the regular season.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
They can win now. Why is it working now
probably,
and it doesn't work later?
Probably, it's not just the outcome. It's, The look or the 60 minutes or the those windows where it doesn't look pretty that you want to clean up, that second period you'd like to clean up, that's the process that moves forward now. It's the optics of the game, not necessarily the end result.
And do you think maybe there's something to do with season timing, like at the start of the year, everyone's excited, max capacity, fighting for where they are in the lineup, forecheck, show your coach, whatever. Everything kind of settles in around game 20, and everyone's like maybe an intensity level down for a bit.
I think there's something to be said about that.
And that's maybe where the Leafs just kind of have more talent than everyone.
There's you go through what you go through over 82 games, but there's no way that you can predict that you're whatever you do between game 1 and game 82, that you could absolutely guarantee that your peak performance will be April on. There's just no rhyme or reason. You just go what you go through and you accept it for what it is, but you can also not get so focused on wins and losses or points or where you end up in the standings, because Leaf fans have been through that before. Tampa Bay Lightning fans have been that before. So it's just about getting yourself ready for the real season in April.
But I want to stop you there, because this idea that it's just like, well, you know, you'll just get your points, you get in playoffs, and then you figure it out. They haven't won their division. The only time they won their division was the Canadian year where
it didn't exist.
Didn't happen.
That year was just.
But on a serious note, they haven't won this division. And maybe it's time for them to give a damn about that as a priority and say, hey, how about we draw, I don't know, the Capitals as an 8 seed instead of playing the Boston Bruins in a 2-3 battle or the Panthers in a 2-3 battle.
Listen, you won't get an argument out of me. If it's there, take it.
Yeah.
If there's an opportunity to win the Atlantic, I think we were unanimous before the season started that we believed that the Leafs would be the top team in the Atlantic.
We were, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, for sure.
The show all had the best team in the
I said they were going to win the President's Trophy.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. They still had a piece last year with a bit more talent offensively anyway, not defensively.
They could find themselves in a battle for top spot. They fought, like, again, what were we talking about the last few years? 115 points, 111. Now what are they on pace for?
109, I think.
5, 107, 9.
It's up there, yeah.
It's up there.
Yeah.
Like, they are good. They are good in the regular season. The only question is now, how quickly can you get this team to look and feel like the one that you want to start in game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs?
You know what I like in a back-to-back is when you have 11 forwards, as much as it's hard for guys because you get a bit more ice, you kind of get these unusual looks and unusual, you know, you get Willie Nylander playing with some different guys.
With Gregor.
Yeah, you know, some different guys get some opportunity in a night where they normally wouldn't. Gregor plays over 17 minutes last night. I don't know that he took advantage of his opportunity last night.
We were talking about that two weeks ago. That
but give just him a little.
Throw him a bone.
Yeah,
put him up there.
And give him some runway here.
Matthew Nyes is out of the lineup. I'm totally on board on that. And it's what I expected to see. A guy that doesn't belong up there, but won't embarrass himself to just buy you time.
Yeah, and I don't even know if he doesn't. I'm a little more bullish than most people. Like, I didn't think he was good last night. I thought he was.
He's not a top six player in the National Hockey League.
I don't know if he isn't.
No, I mean, he wasn't passing to the good guys.
Well, he has no timing with these guys who he knows he's supposed to give it to.
Well, he was just,
him.
Like, skating up the ice. He'd, like, fire it. And then it's like, Matthews is, like, standing there, like, maybe,
you know,
this stick here, pass it to me.
The one thing
I will say
about Gregor, and correct me if I'm wrong, he's only 25.
Yes.
So there might be some growth there. Like, if he was 32, I would sit there and say, okay, you know what? Stay in your lane. You are what you are. I don't know how much more growth there is, you know, with that speed. But can he think the game? Can he be in a position where he can start making plays with the likes of Nylander or Matthews or Marner? Not sure yet.
Yeah. I mean, he turned 25 this summer, like a couple months
ago. That's young. NHL now, today, that's young.
And in 2019, he scored 43 times in 63 WHL games. Like, it's not like he has no experience being a top-line guy in his life.
He was just blowing past guys, and just firing under the bar.
See ya.
Yeah, like in that league, when he scored 60. So just to kind of, like, we kind of zoomed in on Gregor there, but to zoom back out a little bit, I think the perception of the Leafs over this era, like with Dubas, was that they were like this high-flying, offensively-minded team, right?
Yes.
In the last couple years with Dubas, they weren't that.
I feel like
they've brought in Brad Treliving, and everybody thought the perception was going to be like, oh, they're going to be this more defensive, like grittier team. And now they're like the scoring team.
Can't defend a lick.
And they score. Like, they are like a truly, like, I mean, I'm just looking over their last, like, the goal totals they've scored in the last month. They score close to 4 every game. Like, they are a really, really good offensive team, but their defense, it's like, it's crazy to me how much the perception has flipped and flopped with this team, because they are like the all offense, no defense team.
Yeah, they are 7th.
Which isn't
not great.
A great recipe.
I agree. No. I'm just bringing it up.
When you go to, you know, I always check my Sport Logic, my expected goals for, expected goals against on the old chart. They are creeping towards the best offensive team in the league. And defensively, they're on the wrong half of middle. You know, they are not very good that way. So they are what people thought they used to be.
Yeah.
At this point.
Where it's kind of shifting for me a little bit towards Brad Treliving, and in the snot category is Jake McCabe. Mm. All it takes is a couple of big hits, and the feeling changes incredibly for me.
When you're playing against him, you're a little more aware.
Don't tell me that every guy in the league within the end of today will not have seen that hit somewhere on their phone or on a highlight reel here at Sportsnet. Yeah.
You know, I did the pre-scouts for the Marlies, for the teams that we would play. And when you go in, every player has just a note about them. You know, here's something, you know, likes to burn you wide, or, you know, something about their whatever. for sure, if you're scouting McCabe,
head up.
It's yep. Yeah, you know, head up. You know, he's looking for the big one.
He had another big hit Saturday night against Nashville.
Yeah, Evangelista.
Evangelista. Smoked him.
Yes. Yeah.
And then last night, and now all of a sudden, there's a different vibe when you play against the Toronto Maple Leafs if McCabe's on the ice, and that is a good thing.
That one last night was as big as I can remember a Leaf hit in a really long time.
I saw somebody.
Maybe Muzzin. Maybe a Muzzin hit?
No, I don't think Muzzin had one like that.
I don't know. Muzzin had a couple.
That was straight from like my VHS, the grapes, like Rock 'em Sock 'em when I was a kid. That was like a 1998 hit.
If we can see the bottom of your skate, you got rocked. Like that. Dude, it was horizontal.
For me, if I'm a general manager of a hockey team, one of my prerequisites would always be to have one squirrely, low center of gravity defenseman who's looking to inflict pain.
Lebouchkin.
No, it's not just like, not even him. Like, he was more, it's like a little gritty face guy that just likes to run into people as hard as possible.
Stumba.
And that's him.
Squirrely's really good for hockey.
And he is like, and he is squirrely. And as soon as Zibanejad comes over to him, Zibanejad did not want to fight. He immediately gloves off, grabs onto him like, I'm loving McCabe. I'm loving that side of it.
Okay, let's go to Sheldon Keefe on clip four on Jake McCabe and his decor.
I think our team's played better since he's come back. That's part of it. You know, our game is less chaotic than it was when he was in previously. You know, time for him to regroup and restart his season. But yeah, he's been really good, and it's, you know, like, it's whether it's him or, you know, the guys we have in the back end that have come in here with the injuries we've had. The guys have just stepped up their game in key times. It's allowed us to get points here, even when we're not at our best. You know, the guys are finding ways and competing hard. I thought Bobby McMahon comes in, gives us really important minutes here tonight. We talked about Jones. You know, like, guys have been stepping up all the way through. You know, it's not just the McCabes and the guys that we rely on. You know, Riley, Brody, and our key forwards, all that. I think we've been getting really good performances throughout our lineup.
Just of note, in 12, 13 minutes, we're going to get Jim Ralph, Toronto Maple Leaf radio color analyst, to join us, get his thoughts on last night's game.
My boy B-Mac got a shout-out from Sheldon. Bobby McMahon.
Yeah.
Working hard out there.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Yeah, he's just, to me, he is generic fourth liner in the NHL. He can skate hard.
He'll take it over guys who are worse than, than that.
Yeah, I guess.
What do you guys think of like a Ranger team that, for the most part, getting a lot of accolades this season as a top team? But I did not see that at all. Like the access that they gave the Leafs, or the Leafs took from them, depending on how you want to look. The stick checking, the easy access. Like, I was quite surprised.
Yeah, I think, you know, going into this year, the Rangers are a good team, but they're not that different from the Leafs in that they're a pretty flawed team, right? Like, a lot of their best players are one-way guys. Zibanejad's not going to be physical, and he's a one-way guy, and so is Panarin. And, you know, I just think a lot of their guys are kind of one-way guys. So I don't – their D are really good, but
– the way that they let Nylander walk into the zone on that first goal with the fire pokers, that must have sent Laviolette up the tree. He must have been going into that dressing room. He must have killed them. That was not.
I was like, "Is you guys allowed to body check?"
Yeah, I know.
Like, that's, it was shocking for me to see a blue line that's supposed to have this reputation led by Trouba. Like, it was that's a Trouba hit that McCabe levied at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. You know, I know that feeling when you're in Nylander's spot, like, your goalie's pulled, and if they touch it, the whistle's going to blow, so you might as well try it. Like, there's no harm in trying something silly, and they just let him through. He was like, oh, okay.
And he kicked it up to his skate. It was a good play.
Goal scorer.
Hey, I wanted to ask you something that Bunkus brought up to me last night.
I want to get the clip on Keefe on the Rangers Top Guns shutting them down.
Sure, sure.
All right, save that thought.
Yep.
I think it's vital. I think they're... they're a far different team when their top people aren't on the ice. And, you know, that's not uncommon for most teams, but there's a great discrepancy with this group. So we needed to manage that line. And, you know, I think they had their looks, they had their time with the puck, probably more so than we would have liked, but certainly is a key. Both, you know, we talked about that. We talked about winning the special teams a battle, or at least drawing even on that, which they get their power play goal. We wiped that out with a huge power play goal in the third, and we scored a goal on a delayed penalty at 6-on-5 in the first period. So, you know, taking care of that special teams part of it too is another really important piece against this team.
Yeah, I just saw, like, for Panarin, and Panarin's supposed to have had this great year so far.
People have him as a heart.
Right?
Finalist.
Yeah.
Very least.
Did he play last night?
Wheeler shot the puck into the net.
It's a nice goal. That was old school Wheeler coming down off the wing.
Yeah,
it.
I know.
It was nice.
But,
he's
know,
had a ton. That's
one of the rare times the Leafs didn't have a good third man high, and he has
Max Lajoie.
190 feet to.
Yeah, they were exposed with Lajoie there, I thought. Yeah. One of the few times it's been noticeable.
I didn't see, to go out to our conversation last week, I didn't see any alpha dog on the New York Rangers, man.
No.
I saw nothing out of their lineup.
No, like Kreider's getting a little older. Like Lafreniere's not quite there yet. It's, I don't know. They're fine. The Rangers are a good team. I'm not trying to say they're not a good team. Yeah. Great goaltender, but I don't think they're special.
Unlike the Leafs, Matthews kind of looked like an alpha dog last night for me.
Yeah. Yeah, he's humming right now. He's leading goals. Actually, Besser caught him last night. Besser had a hat trick too, but a couple from him, couple from Marner. You know, look, that's what the Leafs are supposed to look like.
You know, go ahead, Sammy.
I don't want to turn it into a negative about Matthews because he's leading the league, but like, why is it, like, why was that lull? And when, like, your coach is basically is like, yeah, he's trying harder now and he's good again. You know, like he's alluded to it multiple times. He had to like light a fire under him.
Oh, sometimes he's.
Is it just the season's too long? Is that what it is?
You know, if anyone could do it every night, they'd be, you know.
Well, they'd be Austin Matthews making $13 million a year.
Right.
That's why he does it every night. You're supposed to be the highest paid guy, right? Like, it's
but there,
when you
to
see
Sammy's
play,
point, there are some nights where you're like, he doesn't feel like playing tonight.
When I see him the way he played last night and the night before on Long Island, it's like, what happened before?
No, it's you're right.
Because it's like you can give
How
me that.
Can you be that guy?
You can give me like you can feel what that feels like to dominate at that level in the greatest league in the world, and then come out and be like, eh.
You know, part of it though, and this is, you know, I do think it's like, you know, the consistency factor. You shot, what's your lowest and highest scores on a golf course this summer?
101 with you was my highest, and 76 was my lowest.
Same golfer.
Yeah, same guy.
You know what it feels like. So. You know, it's just like some days it's hard to do the same thing.
I think I've told you this before. Colby Armstrong has the best story on Phil Kessel as a teammate in Toronto where
you just don't have it.
20 minutes in the first period, he's saying, guys, I just don't have it tonight. I just don't
have
it.
What's funny, though, about guys like that is one might find them.
You guys are on your own. I'm useless to you. Yeah. You guys go on.
But what a beast. A guy like that might find one and still shoot it in the net.
Yeah.
And often we give offensive players passes when they shoot one in the net. And like, they can be terrible all night and they just find one in a good spot. But
that was a Willie story for a lot of his career.
It
would be like these games where he's just a dog and he just picks up the puck and the slot goes bar down for the OT winner. And you're like,
Never talks about his goals per game. And we're in here going, did you watch how bad he was, though?
You know, the one thing that excited me the most about Austin Matthews' game last night? His pass to Mitch on the fourth goal was the best pass I've seen him make in his whole career here.
That was a pretty damn good pass.
It was a great pass. And the beauty of it for me is that if this guy can bring that element to his game where he is less predictable on when he shoots the puck, and we know Kucherov may be the best guy on the planet for that.
For sure.
If he can bring more elements to make that pass, he goes to another level. When I see Matthews on pace for like 30 assists, or he's sitting like 145 in assists in the league, and you're the highest paid guy in the league, no good.
Yeah.
No good.
Yeah, okay. The one thing I think that is
what
it just kills me. I love your commitment to this. No, I truly respect it. Like, I couldn't be committed
make
to
passes
this.
Like that. You're next level stuff now.
Well, yeah, you're McDavid.
You win a Hart Trophy doing that.
You're McDavid.
The thing that I think where it comes
is
from.
Is that not?
Well, he does have 21 goals and 11 assists. Like, it's a big discrepancy, but he's really good at shooting it in the net.
Well, I think, you know, that's one thing we heard Keith say the other night is he wanted him to be more assertive with a shot. But, Kip, to your point, you know,
that's an assertive pass.
Yes. It is. But you know where I think he sees that and where he can pick that up from? Willie. Two assists that Willie has to Nylander, to Matthews in the past couple games are him holding one at the goalie and finding Matthews' back door, right?
Yes.
Like, that's the look where you hold the goalie, and all of a sudden your point about these guys who are all shooters, if you can also pass
it. Listen, the only one over the last few years that's had any type of consistency for those type of passes has been Mitch Marner. If you added now Willie consistently and Austin, I think Tavares will always be that net front presence guy. He's not a disguise. He's not a great passer either, but he is what
he is.
He's
a shooter from the blue paint guy.
But if you can have three of those guys have that element, I think it changes a complete outlook of how they go about their business in the offensive zone.
There's just nothing better than a good pass. I will always say that. It's the best part about the NHL is just the passing, and that one last night was beautiful.
That was slow.
Okay. Before I forget, I wanted to ask you something.
Yes.
And Bunkus brought this up to me last night on Leafs Talk, and I didn't think about it. No, but he thought the fight after the McCabe hit for the team from the Rangers, that like all they do is cry every time Trouba has to fight after a clean hit.
Yeah.
And then they're the team that jumps in after one of the best clean hits. It was a bad look for the Rangers. And the thought didn't cross my mind, but I agree with
him. I didn't think the response from the Rangers was very good at all.
Well, I don't think there needed to be one.
Yeah.
It was a clean hit. The guy got up.
They separated the man from the other side.
I had this conversation with you 1,000 times. I don't care if it's clean or not. You're trying to hurt my guy. That's enough. Don't hurt my guy. How about that?
But how about
that covers it?
But the team that's crying all the time about, I shouldn't have to fight after a clean hit every time. And then there's a clean hit and their whole team jumps on. It's a bad look.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I wrote an article today up on sportsnet.ca about something that you and I have been talking about, how there is sort of like this, still these old school guys in the league who recognize that physical play is really important. Trouba's your guy.
Yeah.
Jake McCabe has been throwing those hits. They're both 30 years old, or, you know, within 2 months of 30 years old. They're older guys. And then there's a lot of young guys who just don't expect to ever get hit. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you saw the Eric Robinson hit on Justin Barron of the Montreal Canadiens, 22-year-old D-man that they have. He doesn't protect himself at all from this hit that's coming. He turns his numbers to it and takes kind of in a bad spot. The article is about how we're kind of between generations of like these older guys that still want to thump guys.
You think it's going to get weeded out here?
Well, it's headed that direction, but I think we're at a point now where you have guys who don't think they're going to get hit and guys who still think there's hard hitting. And so it's kind of, you got some guys who are vulnerable now and Lindgren didn't think for a second that he was going to get hit.
Lindgren plays the game hard too, right?
Yeah, he throws big hits. He didn't believe anyone was going to hit him.
I was shocked that he drops.
He's looking at the big pass.
And he's looking over his shoulder, trying to admire his drop pass.
Man, I was shocked. McCabe must have been just licking his chops.
That's like Christmas dinner.
Oh, my God.
Like cranberry gravy.
Yeah.
It's like when, you know, as an offensive player, you can see you're about to get sprung for a breakaway. I imagine that's what it's like for a D-man to see someone on a tee. It's just like, oh, boy.
And I guess to the point of why there's these fights after the clean hits is that there's so little contact now. These big bangers are such flashpoints in the game where it's like, a guy's like, oh, my God. Like, that can still happen, and they're immediately
blows off. Yeah, yeah. I think these moments where you're like.
You nailed it right there.
Where it's like, you're not allowed to do that. And it's like, no, you very much are.
That's literally the point.
Yeah, he had the puck. Playoffs, people do it all the time.
I know.
David Camp will tell you Radko Gudas hit him pretty good.
Ask Slavin about Sam Bennett.
Yeah, about Sam Bennett.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah.
Yeah.
Choo-choo.
Pretty much anyone on the Panthers, really. Just don't go sniffing around there with your head down.
Right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, Sammy.
Yeah, let's do it. Sounds good.
All right. More Real Kipper and Bourne after the break. Jim Ralph, the voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs, coming up next.
Breaking down the biggest trends in hockey, the Hockey PDOcast with Dmitry Filipovich. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's welcome in Jim Ralph, Toronto Maple Leaf Radio color analyst. Ralphie, how are you, man? Oh, man, they make it easy for you and Joe Bowen on a night like that, what we saw at MSG.
Yeah, you guys usually only have me on after losses. So that's going to be fun.
You're a ray of sunshine, Ralphie. We wanted to hear you, all the positive things. What was your major takeaway from their beatdown of the Rangers?
Well, I mean, a part of it is Igor Shesterkin. I think that's three games in a row. He's had a tough outing. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, I think that plays into it a little bit. But, you know, I like the fact that the power play came through for them in the third period, you know, after the Rangers scored a couple to make it 4-3. I thought that's one of the things that's sort of been hidden in, you know, all these blown leads and, you know, sometimes in different plays, is the power play can be so huge at certain points in a game. And I thought it was huge that they came through and the Marner goal early. Not only came through, but actually results from a point shot being deflected with guys in front. I thought was a pretty unique way of going about it.
Doesn't seem like a 7-3 score is indicative of still maybe a game that could be up for grabs going into the third period. Obviously, the offense took over in the third, but still the feeling that maybe it's tough to string together consistent 60-minute efforts that look good. But the one thing that is consistent, if you're playing the Leafs, and that is, Ralphie, you can't sleep on their offense, man. You're asleep for 5 seconds, man. They're going to bury a puck on you.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. You know, they Keith splits Marner and Matthews up, and yet every time they're on the ice together, whether it's the power play or, you know, the Marner 5-on-5 goal, it's Matthews and Marner that seem to be creating the magic. So you almost wonder if that part of the offense isn't going to be put back together out of necessity. And but you're right. I mean, whether it's, you know, Nylander's run at the start of the year or Matthews, it seems if he gets one, he gets two or three. You know, you've seen it, you know, late in games that they've been able to come back and get something out of it. And, you know, the Allender game on Monday night was the latest example.
Ralphie, the Leafs decor right now seems to be three guys that will be a part of their team in the playoffs. Obviously, Brody and Riley and McCabe. And then three guys you're not sure will be there if you have Liljegren and you have Giordano and who knows who else. What have you made of the three guys, Benoit, Lagesson, Lajoie, and Timmins, actually four guys, I guess, that have been playing fill-in duty?
Yeah, you know what? I think they've been solid. You know, to be fair, I think there are moments where you notice where you say, okay, this is why he hasn't been a regular in the NHL, whether it's you know, Benoit or Lagesson even, where you say, you know, there's something there, but there are those moments where you say, you know, the failure to get it out or the failure to make the little play that doesn't create the hornet's nest in your own zone. But, you know, I think they've filled in admirably. I mean, I think that's exactly, you know, why you want to have depth on the blue line and you want to get guys that have some NHL experience. And, you know, I think that's showed well for them. But I think overall at times they've been much better in front of their own goaltenders as well, maybe the last five or six games, that makes everybody look a lot better.
We're talking to Jim Ralph, Toronto Maple Leaf Radio color analyst. There's got to be an appreciation for Martin Jones, Ralphie, coming in cold against Ottawa and then, you know, holding the fort, I guess, last night for a guy that's played a handful of games in the American Hockey League and didn't exactly light it on fire there either.
Hey, well, there's nothing wrong with not lighting the American Hockey League on fire.
look where it's gotten you.
Well, no, it's not about me. But, I think you love the fact, and I think he gave them what they needed, which is just don't give up that one that looks bad, that's going to sink the team and put you behind. And, you know, I think so much, you know, you watch the highlights every night or you watch different games, and it's amazing how many times the game has turned on that one goal that you're going, you need to save there. And, you know, I think the way you always – look at a goaltending performance or a goal against where you say, okay, if he stopped it, would that be considered a great save, an outstanding save? And if the answer is no, then it's one that you're thinking, Ben, you know, you got to have that. And I thought with Martin Jones, you know, even when he went in the final 10 minutes against Ottawa, that never happened. There was never that goal that you went, oh, no. This might change the momentum of the entire game. So that's what I really liked about it. He stopped everything he should have stopped and, throw in a couple of breakaways that he had in the second period as well.
Has something changed for you with this group? Like, there was a point we had a show maybe a dozen games into the year. Maybe Kip wasn't on board, but Sammy and I had the, like, is this team good conversation? And all of a sudden they're 4 points out of a division lead here and don't, you know, there's not too many teams ahead of them. You feel like they couldn't catch. What's changed for them to have so much success of late?
I don't know. I mean, it's baffling that I think the loss in Pittsburgh is their only regulation loss in, what is the last 11 or 12 now?
Yeah.
And it's just funny. I think because all of the games, though, Borney have been so close mm-hmm. and can go every, you know, and that's why last night, you know, seems to stick out with a 7-3 win in New York. But every game is so close. You don't feel like they've been as good as they've shown in the standings. Where you think, well, you know, if the overtime record's reversed or, if they didn't blow this lead or, if they didn't self-implode in this game, we'd think they were a better team. And then you look around the league and you're going, Prince, you're 4 points back of Boston now.
Yeah.
And have lost the place in overtime. So it's probably just part of whether you're covering the Leafs or you're a Leaf fan. You do get to that point where you think that every game is based on how they play and has nothing to do with the opposition. But, you know, obviously you see other teams around the league have their own warts. We just don't care as much about it.
Ralph, we were talking earlier about Jake McCabe. And this week, a couple of games, we've seen some really big hits. What do you think that does terms of changing the perception of the Leafs when you see some of those big hits?
Well, Kipper, I think you can go back to our era where if you get over the line and you drop the puck back, don't turn around and look at it. You know that?
Yes.
I mean, that's something that rule's been around forever, but it was it was a clean hit, but I mean, I do think you need, you know, Luke Shen was brought in for that reason last year. You need somebody that occasionally has to stand up and make that big hit. You know, sometimes you get caught and you end up giving up an odd man rush because of it, even if it gets your guy. But I think you always want to make sure the opposition's coming over the line with their head up. And, some players, you know, handle that a little better than others, but I think it's great to have that threat that, you've got that toughness. I mean, Jacob Trouba, who seems to have a credit card from the National Hockey League, that's what you see every second night is another big Trouba hit. And you better believe guys are aware when he's on the ice.
Yeah, no, it makes a big difference. And for a Leafs team that doesn't have that reputation, nice to have that element to it. The Leafs get by, I think, last night, you know, maybe not the dominant team, but they just have the elite players, right? And Matthews and Marner, fun little stat here. That's the 69th time that they have scored in the same game. And the Leafs are 64-5 in those games.
Is that a good record?
That seems
Ralphie.
Okay. So,
yes, of course you must've got that off the broadcast last night because that's where it was heard first.
Is that right? Was that, were you looking that up, Jimmy, doing your,
yeah.
Some Googling,
yeah,
were
that's
you?
Why, that's why he missed the last four goals.
So give me your thoughts, you know, on this Leafs team. People call them top heavy. Like, if those guys are humming like that, you can be top heavy. It's not such a criticism, is it?
No, and you know what? The guy, I don't know if you guys are going to bring it up or not. I'm a huge Noah Gregor fan.
Hey, me too.
And it was great to see him move up. I think he was over 17 minutes of ice time. Made a great feed to Austin Matthews for a chance. I think it was in the first period. And, he's got a very underrated shot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you see his speed. He can be physical. And, whether he ends up back on the fourth line or not, I thought Kemp and Bobby McMahon spent a little too much time in their own zone. I know they were, you know, it was kind of a makeshift fourth line by dressing the 7D. But I just think... If you can get those bottom six guys to produce, even Kemp, three goals in his last four games, mm-hmm. I think you absolutely can ride your top two lines. But as long as your third and fourth lines are playing even or a little better, I think that's what sets you up.
The other thing I wanted to ask you, Ralphie, when it comes to Austin Matthews and our boy Sammy, kind of brought this up earlier in the show, is like what goes on those seven or eight games when there's just a lull in his game? Is it strictly a matter of focus, hard work? What do you see on some nights when it doesn't appear that he's one of the top players in the world?
Yeah, I mean, he does go through those stretches, Kip, where you say, God, he could have had three or four tonight. Nothing went in. And then you're right. There's games where you're going, I'm not sure he had a legitimate scoring chance. And that, you know, you start looking at other guys around the league. When you start going, you see, you know, Brady Tkachuk's got five or six two-goal games and only two games where he scored one goal. So it's it seems to be the you must have gone through that well in junior anyway.
A few times.
Hot for five or six games.
A few times.
You know, then it dries up. I know in the American League, I never saw you score well that one hat trick, but that was about it.
You guys know that, eh? My only professional hat trick came against Jim Ralph.
Yes. We did know that, and I love it.
I got it on the side of the building here at Rogers, Ralphie.
Hey, well, I'll give you a worse one. In the minors, Brett Hull scored his 40th, his 45th, and his 50th on me.
In the same game?
Oh, same game, yeah. So that was worse than Kipper's three.
So how do you handicap their chances then? You know, looking at the division, you know, what is this team for real? Like, are they as good as the Bruins or the Panthers or Red Wings, Lightning, and the Chase group here?
I mean, I still think you got to believe that you've got to upgrade your blue line. Even when you get Giordano and Liljegren back, you know, I think that would be the number one concern if you're going to go on some kind of extended playoff run. And so I still think, you know, the up front, I think they're fine. I think you've got different combinations you can play with to be dangerous. I've at times loved the fourth line. You know, even though they got off to the horrible start. I just think that defensively, you've got to look at is that's the one part of your game that you've got to improve on. And whether it's toughness, whether it's you want to replace Klingberg with a guy that's more puck moving, which you could say Connor Timmins has been able to do that back in the lineup. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the one area I'm sure that Brett Treliving's looking at and saying, you know, we need one, maybe two guys to upgrade the back end.
Leafs against Columbus tomorrow night, and then Kyle Dubas makes a visit Saturday night. You think Kyle's looking forward to it?
Maybe the scoreboard tribute, yeah.
Do you think he's going to get a video, just throwing water bottles?
I know. Who did it? Didn't Columbus do that for Jonathan Quick?
No, did they really?
Yeah, I think it was all in fun, but he never played a game for them, but they did something. Or you know what? Maybe I saw it on an Instagram or something, and somebody just made it up. But it's it'll be interesting to see Pal come back, and you know, obviously, you know, they're not off to the you know, the greatest start for them, but it'll be interesting to see. And then we always keep bringing it up that Pittsburgh's actually the last team to shut the Leafs out over 2 years ago when they were in Toronto. So, yeah, we try to get that stat out as early as we can because it seems as soon as you say it, the Leafs end up scoring.
As the puck drops, you're given that one?
Yeah. And we were doing even the Islander game because I think Sorokin has most shutouts in the last 3 or 4 years of anybody in the league. And Varlamov, the backup, is tied for the second most shutouts. So we got it right early, and then Matthew scored in the power play. So we'll be benching that very early on Saturday if the streak's still going.
JB's writing all these things down, and then we're going to credit our own show.
That's right. And so we're credit thieves here. We're scouring the internet.
According to your insider. Yeah, you can use that.
Ralphie, really appreciate your time, man, as always. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Thanks, Ralphie.
All right. What would be on Dubas's video tribute? Just a lot of...
Him.
It's not working. Oh, there we go.
Him yelling at the fans in Tampa.
Whipping water bottles.
You remember that?
Oh, it was awesome. That was the most I ever liked them.
Running down.
You like that? You didn't like.
Yeah.
Them.
Running down the stairs, chasing the ambulance when Tavares was hurt, because that would show him how much he cares.
He did it with Mikheyev too. So that was when he got his arm cut or whatever it was.
Are we implying this was insincere?
No.
No.
I would never.
No. No. But Sammy told us he won't do any interviews. He won't conduct into any type of engagement that shows any signs that he ever worked here.
I think he's coming in studio for our show.
What? No
yeah,
way.
We're going to have him in studio.
I think... It would be.
That would be an interesting hour.
Yeah. He just had a list really of points to rebut for over the last few years.
To me,
okay, Kadri. Let's just do an hour show on the Kadri trade.
Everything's great.
Maybe this is more of a conversation for later in the week. But if they did do a video tribute to Kyle Dubas, that would be one of the more fascinating fan responses to me.
I agree. What do you guys think?
I think it's Johnny T, 1,000 points.
Boo.
I think it's booze.
I do get a sense that...
It's not all cheers. I know
that's for sure.
I get a sense that there's kind of like that 50-50 draw out there. That they're... Mm-hmm. They love him or they hate him.
Oh, it got to be politics here.
I was just going to say, it's full Democrats, Republicans. Yes.
It's left and right.
There's no centrists. No. You're in or out. The Dubasites.
Yeah.
Although I don't know what I'd classify myself as.
I would say that the quote-unquote Dubasites have been a little quieter since the start of the year with the pick, because they were pretty horned up over the Carlson trade. They were really doing some laps in the Carlson trade, and they were talking about how he's going to they like the Graves contract. They were really in on the...
But I was thinking...
It's got a little quieter.
I was thinking, like, if you're Brad Tree Living and you've come here to Toronto... Klingberg's not playing. Reeves has not been impactful. So Domi and who's his other guy?
Bertuzzi.
But Domi, Bertuzzi, and Gregor.
And Gregor, and Lagesson, and Benoit.
Yeah, okay. So
don't sleep on those boys.
You're right. So I wonder, though, if he added those guys to the Calgary Flames teams he had, they're still bad. Right?
Yeah, you're right.
They're still bad.
It's a good
point. I do wonder if he comes here and watches this team just race car the, you know, the New York Rangers in Madison Square Garden and goes, this is nice.
Yeah, nice job. This good job, nice, Kyle.
You know, like, appreciate this collection. Like, I'm glad you didn't trade any of these guys.
I like those four guys, but, you know, that could have used a couple more treats in the cupboards.
Yeah, sure.
Could have used a cookie in there.
Could have left a couple.
Speaking of politics, they should do polls. Oh, no, they should do polls.
I actually am
for
on board with this.
Popularity polls on where...
Our show should start doing.
Yes. On where you are, like in politics, they go like, "How confident are you?"
Call ticket holders.
What's it called? Is it the polls?
Yeah.
Or like, the pre-election polls,
primary polls, I don't know what they call them. Confidence poll. Yeah. I don't know, but don't tell me,
Sammy. Could you call 1,000 fans before the next show?
I was gonna say, get that on your Twitter. Yeah, I know you like to Twitter. Put all these tweets out on X.
No, you got the wrong guy now.
I think it has to be your feed, though.
No.
Yeah, because you're.
Kipper, you have like 6 million followers.
You appeal to both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
I don't care. I think it's dangerous. I only go to it when I absolutely have to.
Yeah, it's on fire at all times.
You need the oven mitts for that.
I will say this: Brad Tree Living, climbing.
Climbing for sure.
Climbing. His popularity has climbed in the last 3 weeks.
I would say November 1st, he was not very popular. You know, like after 3 weeks of the season where...
I think the perception of him has changed since Lagesson and Benoit.
Bertuzzi found it.
But those guys have changed it because Bertuzzi had found it earlier. But those three underlying guys.
He got it when the hockey gods gave him a breakfast ball on the Klingberg contract.
If you were still watching Klingy gift one to Panarin last night.
Guess what? He's
three on the tee.
He's also still standing on the tee, trembling over his second one. So
he hasn't taken a cut.
He hasn't swung it. No. It's not down the fairway.
He's lining it up like a putt. Just give me another minute with this.
Are you a guy to
the pre-shot routine?
Are you a guy to hit? Like, you got the choice, right? You can hit four from the fairway, three off the tee. Correct.
Look, I've never heard of that.
Oh, no, it's a new golf thing, isn't
it? Is that Rosedale rules?
If you push one in the woods, you have the choice of, I think, having a lateral where it went in to hit four.
Love that. Done.
Or do you
every
hit
time.
Three.
No, from every the time. Every
I think I'm
single
still falling
time.
Out of the woods and hitting three. I think it's my choice.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have a look. Yeah. And then you go into the fairway.
All right, we'll figure it out in the next hour. More Real Kipper and Bourne. We go national next. Stick around.